New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
We're live.
1, 2, 3, 4.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to West 5 Pod, a podcast about WVU football, the Big 12 Conference, and shovels. I'm Joel Bracken at WV Stats Guy, joined as always by Jordan Pinto. He's at Game Day Shorts. Jordan, you told me Sunday morning that you would be all right once you got some tutors in you. Have you acquired the tutors? Are you doing better?
The tutors was successfully acquired, but no, man, I'm not good. Kind of told you, like, just put my head down at work today, tried to get through it, stopped myself from thinking about it, but no, not good at all, man. Like, it's honestly, it's festered because, you know, after the game Saturday, Sunday, I kind of stayed off the internet, and today I couldn't keep myself off the internet. And so I've been reading the shit and been reading stuff from Pitt fans and reading all the stuff from the Pitt players and coaches and all this bullshit. And I've gotten all the way re-pissed off. You know, being a college football fan, like college sports, like most things, right? Like you get out of it what you put into it. Mm-hmm. Right. And when you put a lot into it and things go well, it's the best thing on the planet, right? Like I'm married, I have two kids, but a lot of the best days of my life are West Virginia game days, right? The counter to that is that when things go like they do Saturday, you know, I think my buddy Andy put it, is like, I haven't felt that shitty walking out of a game since 2007. You know, just a situation where we have it so well in hand. I think the combination of that, and I still think we're so much better than Pitt. Like, Pitt fucking sucks. Pitt is two miracles from being 1-2, and you and I are walking out of the game on Saturday, and they're like, you think we'll be ranked? You know, we're like overhearing conversations, and it's just like, dude, you guys suck. Yeah. You guys fucking suck. We just smoked you and fucking handed you the game. And I don't know. Today, yeah, I'm pissed off again. It was funny. Last night, had dinner with my in-laws. They all acted like I had just gotten back from a funeral, like a family member had passed away. They're just like, I'm so sorry for your loss, you know, all this stuff. And it's just like, God fucking, you know, so no, I'm not good. I'm upset. Obviously a lot to talk about. How are you doing better today at all?
I'm doing all right. I mean, I also kind of was busy today and thinking about other stuff for the best, but yeah, I mean, I'm the token West Virginia fan of all my friends up here. I went to a run event today and I was wearing actually a West Virginia shirt, and everyone comes in, they're like, oh, surprise, you'd show your face with that on, you know, all that stuff. So yeah. I think that was a good opening statement from you. I feel pretty similar. Yeah, I think it hurts even worse that I don't feel like Pitt is that good of a team, and then we lost the game. It's like, even as the game was progressing, if we won it, I wasn't going to feel overly confident about our team, but still, you win a rivalry game and that's all you can really ask for. But yeah, there's some just insane stats, you know, the way especially the second half sort of played out, that yeah, they really hurt in reflection. And in my reflection, I think this was the hardest stadium exit I've had to have. There's a few in contention, but I think this one was, I don't think it gets much worse than this, because of who it was, because of what your expectations are, and you feel like you are not a team that should lose to a team like this, especially when you are down this kind of self-proclaimed journey, this climb, and you feel like three rungs lower than, you know, maybe even in previous seasons at some point. So, yeah, really frustrating. And, you know, shared some texts and stuff with some people I saw on Saturday. And I think the consensus was it was a great day till it wasn't. It was an awesome day. It was fun. Good, you know, it was warm. It was very warm where we were sitting in the stadium. But, you know, our fans were out in full force. And like you said, they were putting it in. They were, you know, doing it because they love the university and love the football program. And yeah, it stinks to see, because I do feel like this is, you know, what you want to do to your rival is really punch them in the gut and leave them feeling like they got a hole in their stomach. And I feel like Pitt accomplished that to us, and it really stinks because, you know, you see our fans online, the things that they're saying, we're melting down in full force. We are saying don't go to the games. People are saying they're not going to renew their tickets. They're not going to make a trip like this again. And that's what you want your rival to be saying about playing you. And yeah, like you said, when you feel like you're probably the better team of the two, when they get you the better of you like that, and I think it compounds a little bit too that this was an exaggerated situation of what happened in Pittsburgh last time. You know, I think this was the same but worse. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, you said it perfectly. It was just like that most agonizing way to lose possible, where you have your foot on their throat. And literally, it felt like for a little while, like Pitt was kind of like holding our foot down on their throat. You know, like they wanted us to beat them. They wanted us to blow them out. And we just didn't oblige. We let our foot up, and we thought they were dead, like fucking movie scene or something.
Their fans were leaving the game.
Their fans were leaving the game with 5 minutes to go. We're waving their fans out. And then that happens. And you and I, and I think a handful of my buddies, just sat there in disbelief in the stadium for what, probably 15 minutes. And then we're walking out, and I'm just in a horrible state of mind. You know, it was the kind of thing, dude, 2022. I mean, I got into a little bit of a shouting match with a guy walking down the ramps, you know, where he's like one ramp lower than me. So we're kind of just like lapping each other and yelling the whole time.
It's a long walk out of there.
It's a long fucking walk out. Not a great stadium design, but this time, you know, it just kind of happened where, like, the kid walking out in front of me, there's this little fucking shit-eating Pitt kid who couldn't have been more than 5'6", 150 pounds. And he's just the loudest, most obnoxious guy. And I'm in a horrible state of mind, and it took everything I had not to say something, but I walked about a foot off of his fucking bow the entire way out of the stadium, borderline hoping he would turn around and notice me. And he never really did. And it's not a good place to be as, you know, a dad, that's not a good example to set for your kids. Right. I'm glad nothing happened. It was a situation where we just wanted to get as far away from the stadium as possible. I think you and I went and got pizza and went back to our hotel and probably said 20 words to each other for the rest of the night. It was just like that kind of a night, you know, like we had plans to, it's like, oh, maybe we'll do like a podcast, or, you know, we'll play some Xbox. We'll fire up some college football. And instead, I lost my last fucking $10 on a live bet, Georgia -4.5, and fell asleep. This is fucking 10 out of 10 day, all the way around.
We really put the Georgia live bet at halftime, Georgia -4, both immediately fell asleep. And then I think we woke up and the score was scrolling.
13-12, yeah. And it's just like, well, great. I'm glad that we did that. I'm glad that we came. This is a really fun time. Just a 10 out of 10 day all around. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, do you have game notes that we need to talk through? Do you want to just talk about fallout? We need to obviously do the fallout, but do you want to talk about the game at all first?
I have like maybe two or three like quick things, because, yeah, you know, if you're a West Virginia fan and you care enough, you've probably dissected this game more than most. I don't think there's a lot of hidden stuff. Our secondary, troublesome. Our passing game, not fantastic. You've probably heard this stat if you are very plugged in, but I mean, I think it's pretty incredible. Is you really look at how the second half flowed, and it was just the weirdest flow of a game for Pittsburgh to win the game. Up until under 5 minutes to play in the half, Pitt had 4 offensive yards in the second half. 4 yards. They had three three and outs in a row. Or sorry, I guess they got one first down in there, but then it was a sack. They ended up losing all the yards right back.
Yeah.
They score off a punt block, which is like a whole sequence where we fake a punt. The next play, we score a long touchdown, comes back from a hold, which I don't know.
Sure didn't look like a hold to me. I'm not biased, but didn't look like a hold to me. Looked like the guy fell down and Wyatt Milam just kind of like helped him on his way.
It did kind of look like the guy slipped and Milam just sort of laid down on top of him, which I don't think is a hold, but whatever. Then, I mean, the punt block was just an absolute blown assignment. The guy, I don't know if you've seen the replay of it.
I did. Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
You see what Neil said today? He's like, in 10 years, I've never seen anything like the block punt. He's like, we had a guy who just didn't even turn his head and look at it. They weren't even blitzing. They weren't even trying to block the punt.
Yeah.
They were returning the punt. They were in a punt safe kind of a deal. And just one of like the four guys that they sent, we just didn't even look at him.
Yeah. I don't know what the maybe punt specific position or assignments are, but I'll just tell you from someone who watches a lot of sports, the guy was blocking on the right side and a guy comes running down the right side and he is the rightmost guy and he chooses to block the inner guy.
Who already had a guy blocking it.
Yeah. I just,
we double teamed the guy there and we left. We roll the punter right every time also, right? It's like, you know. So like how many fucking thousands of punts have we done this offseason where it's like, hey, we roll the punter right every time. Maybe we should block the guy rushing from the right. I don't know. Anyways, continue. Sorry.
I mean, that's just, you know, one of those unexplainable things. You know, like I said, they have 4 yards in the second half. They do have a touchdown from this punt block, but then they reel off in their final two drives a combined 11 plays, 152 yards in just about 3 minutes of clock time. You know, I think there's just lots of plays where, you know, even Neil mentioned post game, you know, when we're trying to run the clock out, a missed assignment, a block, receiver makes a block, it's probably a first down or close to it. You know, we have a second and 30 that a ball comes out of the sky with three D-backs there, and it just, I couldn't believe it fell into his lap. It kind of just seems like it fell like right between all of our guys. You know, just lots of plays like that that leave you scratching your head that it's like, you just don't do one or two of those things and it feels like you win the game. Like it was kind of like all of those things had to happen. And if I'm a Pitt fan and just in full, you know, transparency, if you're a Pitt fan, you're like, how many breaks did we get? Well, you know, there was the pick six that didn't happen. I'd say the only thing Pitt maybe has a justifiable complaint would be the touchdown that we caught. You want to say face mask, pass interference, whatever. Like, yeah, the refs didn't have a great day. I don't think that's a secret. I don't think any coach was happy about the refs. But, just a lot of bad breaks. And unfortunately, that's just like a Neil Brown-themed team, it feels like.
Because as I said, it was the greatest hits, which is, it's just, and that's the part that's not encouraging, is that it's year six, and you have all this momentum from last year. And now all this shit is rearing its head again, and you're in the margins, and the margins are swinging against you again, and now you're losing games you shouldn't lose. And it's just like, you know, okay. And so this gives a lot more weight to the arguments of, well, last year, shit swung our way. Maybe we got lucky against the shitty schedule. And right? And so, you know, okay, so say that's true. So you have that as like your landmark in 6 years, and then the previous 4 years, and now this year, it's been awful. And so like what, you know, like I just don't like, what is there to hang your hat on, really? It feels like, you know, we had dudes last year who were making plays who are not making plays this year, like who have regressed. Like, why is that the case? Like, did we change the scheme just for the sake of it? Like, are we not putting these guys, or, you know, I just don't understand the regression. It's really fucking frustrating. A couple more stats. So I have a couple notes on the game. So Pitt ended up with, I think, shade under 100 rushing yards total, like maybe like 90 rushing yards. Dez Reed, who we were super worried about pregame, had 12 carries for 22 yards. We fucking smoked that guy. Like that guy, they didn't even want to give him the ball in the second half. Holstein, 83 scrambling yards. 84 of them were after contact. Like how many times did we have mitts on this guy? All of his fucking scrambling yards are after we get hands on him. He had 8 scrambles for 83 yards, 84 yards after contact. 67 of his scrambling yards are on the last two drives. Fucking tackle the guy. How about that? Start with that. last drive, I don't know if you noticed this, but on the first play of their last drive, when they go down and score the game-winning touchdown, Rodney Gallagher runs out there late, like we didn't have enough dudes on the field.
Yep.
And didn't know the fucking play call. And, of course, they throw it into a hole right behind him for 23 yards to get that shit kick-started. He's looking around after the play like, what the fuck? Like, why? So, why is he out there, first of all? This guy's a wide receiver. Why is he out there on the most important drive of the game? And how do we not know what fucking coverage we're in on the most important drive of the game? Indictment of the coaching. I mean, you mentioned it, just the sheer amount of shit that had to swing their way. Every single thing did. It's just the same old stuff, man. And it's year six and it's inexcusable. I listened to the press conference today and it's all this stuff of like, we appreciate that it's a trend. We're not real fired up about it, right? We're going to get it fixed. It's like, what have you been doing for fucking 8 months? What have you been doing for the last 8 or 9 months? You had the whole offseason to figure it. Like, why do we have to wait? Like, are you this bad at evaluating your players? Like, hey, you know, maybe the secondary look good because our receivers aren't good. Hey, yeah. Conversely, maybe the receivers look okay in practice because the secondary is dog shit. You know, I mean, all this, even something as simple. So, like, how about this one? Eddie V gets hurt, and our defensive line immediately generates pressure when we play Asani Redwood and TJ Jackson. It's like, what the fuck have you guys been looking at for 8 months where, like, TJ Jackson should not have been a clear-cut starter? This dude is, like, the most disruptive.
Best player.
Most disruptive defensive lineman we've had since Stillsbrough's left. And he's playing 20 snaps a game behind Eddie V, who, God love him, loves the university, puts a shift in. But, like, it's not a difference maker. And I just, like, I just don't understand. I don't understand. It feels like so many of our things like that, where it's like, hey, that worked out. It's like because we almost fell ass backwards into it. You know, where it's like if things go the way the coaches want, it's like, yeah. And then it's like, okay, well, it's just, yeah, little baby, easy fixes, little baby fixes. We can do it. We're going to do it. And I don't know. I'm just so it's the fucking greatest hits of shit on the field. It's the greatest hit of stuff and excuses in the press conferences. And I'm so sick and tired of listening to all of it, dude. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it did feel, and you always see the game in the lens of your team. But several sequences that had large point swings. The early dropped potential pick six. You catch it, it's 3 points off the board. You return it, it's a 10-point swing. Obviously, the fake punt, long touchdown, called back for a hold, then block punt. I mean, that's a 14-point swing right there. Right there.
There was like a 2nd and 17 earlier in the game where Anthony Wilson tips the ball down. It's about to be 3rd and 17, and instead it pops up in the air and they catch it for a first down. Or it's just give me a fucking break, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, extending, you know, I do think the greatest hits is a good call because it's extending, like, they had the one touchdown drive where I think they had at least 3 automatic first down defensive penalties, 2 of which we had them, like, at least 5 yards behind the chains.
We had them behind the sticks the entire game.
I mean, how many times do you, the crazy thing is you allow a blocked punt return for a touchdown, you allow at least 3 different times for them to convert when they were over 15 yards to gain. All these sort of things, and you still are up 10 with 5 minutes to play, and like everything's in front of you. The win probability on this game, or post-game win expectancy, which is a metric that tells you if you were to, you know, basically simulate the games and the teams were to achieve the same stats, how many times would you expect to win? Pitt, 51% post-game win expectancy. This was a coin flip game. A lot of those stats came in the final 5 minutes of the game for Pitt. I mean, 2 drives that were over 150 yards combined. I mean, as a casual, this had to be a pretty exciting game to watch. It was, you know, everything you want in college football. It was back and forth rivalry, you know, wacky stuff. But yeah, you walk away, I think, as a Mountaineer fan, just saying, wow, I feel like I've seen this too many times. How many games have we lost? I know we saw the stat float around online. In the last 3 years, we've lost 3 games where we've had like over a 94% win expectancy. I think by the ESPN metric. You know, you have the Houston game last year. How do you lose that one? You have this one, the Pitt game from 2 years ago. You have, what was the other one? I can't remember what the other one was. But yeah, I mean, you
those just are the three, but
Well, I think that another one, actually, I don't think the Pitt 2 years ago we had overnight. I think it was Kansas 2 years ago was the other one because we got up big early and we thought they were not a good team. Kind of fell asleep at the wheel. But yeah, it just feels like greatest hits. It doesn't feel like you're really not surprised anymore, I guess, when these things happen, which is a real bummer because you and I and tons of other people, you know, put a lot of time and care about this team more than is healthy and drive the long distances and, you know, do all this stuff. And yeah, it's a bummer. It just stinks because, yeah, it is always just elevated when it's Pitt, and especially when it's a Pitt team, you think you're feel like you should be a lot better than it. It stinks.
So, you know, I think the next place we have to go is like, what's next? Like, what's the fallout? My buddy Al, who you finally met this week, Joel drank a beer off a shovel this week, this weekend. So that was a fun thing. Joel learned about the wishing shovel, got a crash course in shoveling 301, which is the self shovel, which is, it was pretty impressive. He had some technical flaws, but you know, I think if he got another crack at it, he'd be okay.
I'd give myself a C-. I learned a lot out there. I wasn't prepared for, you know, I learned grip and then, you know, you really got to lock in with your,
got to get it into the groove. Yeah,
keep,
no, for sure.
Keep lane integrity, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of lane integrity, our defensive line on the last two drives. Anyways, you know, I think we were talking about it today and just feeling sorry for ourselves. And he put it in the simplest possible terms. It's just like, Neil does not have the equity to lose games like that. Yep. You know, like, what is he hanging his hat on previously where it's like, should be okay to lose? I mean, not that it would ever be okay to lose a game where you're up 10 with less than five to go against your rival. But like, I don't know, like, what do you see happening here? What should happen? What percentage of blame is on the coaches for this, by the way? I think we were talking about this a little bit after the game, but like, how much of this is coaches versus, you know, we hear a lot of in post game and then again today is guys didn't execute, but like, where would you put players versus coaches versus whatever?
I mean, I think the more and more that this becomes like a normal thing, it's on coaches, right? Because like, this is, we consistently, and you know, I do feel like there was a lot more in post game of like, we thought this play was good. We thought this was going to work. We thought this, and it was poor execution. And, like, I'll give it to him. Like, I guess you can coach a guy up all you want, and if he just decides not to block the dude, you know, I can feel sympathy in that situation where you feel like you've prepared him, and then they just don't do it in the time you need him to do the most. And it is a little bit like, what are you supposed to do? But, yeah, there's just a consistency to this. And yeah, there's hardly much evidence to, like you said, sort of give the goodwill of like, yeah, if you rattle off 9 or 10 wins every year and you get upset every now and again, like, it's college football. Everybody's losing games they shouldn't lose from time to time. Like, that's why we watch. But you're not winning a lot of games you're not supposed to, and you're losing a handful of them that you're supposed to win. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to put it on too much on the players in the sense that it's just like it has been the same story for several years. Even if you want to give them the buffer 2 years or whatever, okay, let's look at the last four. How many games have we really won that we weren't supposed to decisively or like put someone to bed that we should handle? Like, I feel like even teams we should be better than, we're generally in these close games that it takes a blown assignment and you never know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I completely agree. I'm, you know, I get it. Like, guys do have to execute, but at some point you're the coaches, you're responsible for them executing. You know, I think that so like one of the really damning things, so like you think about a guy like, Shadon Brown, right? Coaching our secondary, made a big deal in the preseason. Oh, we coach playing the ball in the air differently. You know, we want guys to play through the receiver. You know, we don't want them to look for the ball too early and all this stuff. And it's like, boy, you know, it feels like there's a lot of situations where maybe if they look for the ball a little bit fucking earlier, a lot of these balls wouldn't get caught. Case in point, 2nd and 30, the 40-yard touchdown in the middle of three guys, none of whom made a play on the ball, right? Where it's like, okay, you know, so I don't know. I'm just, stuff needs to happen, in my opinion. You know, Neil kind of alluded to some coaching changes coming in the secondary. you know, some schematic changes in the secondary. You know, he didn't, I think it's nice he doesn't throw his coaches under the bus, but he's more than happy to say guys didn't execute. So that's a fun thing. But I don't know. I mean, it's just insane to me that, like, we're going to run this back and, like, that, you know, we're not going to give somebody else a chance to call plays. I don't know. Like, Jordan, you know, and it feels harsh. Because the defense did play so well in the second half for the most of it, for the most part, right? But, like, when you really needed them to, shit fell apart. And we hear all the time, it's a results-driven business. Like, we're talking about giving guys playing time because, hey, why would we let people keep playing if they're not performing? And it's like, why would you let these motherfuckers keep having a big hand in the defense when the defense isn't performing? It's just like a weird contrast. I don't know. Like, what changes would you like to see defensively?
I mean, clearly it's the secondary is the obvious issue. We actually got a lot of pressure this week. We clogged up the running game. You know, I'm a little surprised we didn't have a spy on the quarterback by like the third scramble or the fourth scramble or sixth scramble. Because it did seem pretty evident that our guys are turning their heads and following the receiver, and the quarterback seeing 20 yards of space and nobody's even looking at him. I mean, like, that's always such a frustrating thing when you're in the stadium and you're seeing the quarterback just take the space and no one on the defense even realizes he's taking
reacting.
The space.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That's just, you know, it's one of those, like, you feel like the thing's in slow motion because you know there's going to be two more seconds before our guy even gets his head turned around and sees that. So that's a frustrating thing. So in the scrambling quarterback issue, I think has to be lumped in with the secondary because those final two drives both probably don't happen without the scrambling quarterback stuff. You mentioned how many yards he had in the final two drives. It was a lot. I'm not going to act like I'm an expert in defensive back play. I don't think that the right thing is to play the receiver and to not look at the ball, right? Like, that's the whole thing with, like, pass interference calls are always like, yeah, he didn't make a play on the ball. He didn't get his head turned around. He's just, like, you know, playing the guy. So yeah, I mean, I'll defer to the experts in that one, but man, I don't know if it's, you know, I think we only have one coach for the safeties and corners. Should that be separate? I mean, I don't know. Aubrey Burke seems like the only guy who has a half decent PFF grade in any game this year. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you're going to throw somebody to the wolves, it has to be Shadon Brown, for better or worse. Love the guy. Love hearing his interviews, but based on the way he told, you know, kind of like the way he said he coaches it, it just doesn't seem like that's working to me. You know, so, I mean, I'm honestly pretty disappointed that we didn't hear anything. Maybe it's something that's happening behind the scenes and Neil just doesn't want to put that evil on anybody, which honestly, I kind of appreciate. Next week too. Yeah. And I kind of appreciate and respect that, which is fine. But yeah, man, it just, God, something has to change. Something has to change. It's been too bad for too long.
So my, you know, I think as fans, we all, you know, we're in week two of the NFL and we're already deciding who's a bust and who's, you know, the next greatest thing and all, you know, people make these assignments of things very early. Clearly we're very far down the Neil Brown trajectory. And I, you know, I'll just be honest. I don't think West Virginia, we never, to my knowledge, fired a coach in season. I don't think the way, unless things just go completely south, I don't think we're going to do that. But I'll tell you a secret is things don't get easier. Things get a lot harder. This Pitt game was probably the bottom three or four teams we're going to play this year remaining.
Yep.
And that's, so, you know, it better get better fast or we're going to have a long season. We're going to have, especially a next, over the next 6 weeks, we have five games and three of them are currently ranked. Kansas was ranked and Arizona was ranked. So over the next five games, we're playing five teams that have already been ranked this season. Neil Brown has not been ranked for a game. West Virginia has not been ranked for a game since 2018 before Neil Brown. So we're playing five programs who are at least this year at higher regards than us over the next 6 weeks, with the bye week coming after Kansas. So I think I'm going to have an opinion on things, but you get through October. If you rattle off four of these five, okay, we can talk. It's going to be really hard. These teams are all better. These quarterbacks are probably, all five of them are probably better than Holstein.
I don't know about Alan Bowman. Probably not Alan Bowman.
Okay, no, that's
but
fair.
But the other four the are other probably four. Better than Holstein, yeah.
That's fair. So, you know, no, you're not wrong, though. I mean, I think Ollie Gordon's having a rough year because they're saying, what if we just put 12 people in the box? Do you think he's going to throw it over top of us? Yeah, I think
an extra guy in there.
Yeah. Anyways, go ahead, sorry. No, I mean, I think this is, you're pushing your chips to the middle of the table, and you have a lot of hard games coming up, and you got to find a way to win a lot of them. And this is just the position you're in. You don't have the goodwill. You don't have the equity to be in another position. I mean, this is who we are. So we're going to learn a lot about this team. And I think maybe you alluded to it in the Musket chat, but, you know, the way redshirt rules work, you can play four games. Kansas will be our fourth game. Then there's a bye week.
Yeah.
Keep an eye. I mean, yeah. Like.
It wasn't me, but people were. And yeah, I agree. Yeah. Yeah. The Kansas game needs to go well. It needs to go well. We'll get into that here in a little bit. I don't have anything else in the game. You want to get into the recap?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's absolutely flush the hell out of this game and never talk about it again.
So recap wise, I feel like there's, you know, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech bounce back. In terms of notable, you know, I think notable takeaways, I think in general, the bottom half of the league is looking a little better recently. Yeah. You know, teams that maybe looked like shit the first week or two, kind of all bounced back. So, you know, really just kind of pushing the narrative that the Big 12 might just be a 16 team quagmire. But I did think, and you know, Arizona State Thursday night, really nice win at Texas State. God, I would fucking hate to play Texas State. Texas State would throw for 500 yards on us. But Arizona State gets a 3-0 after being picked 16th out of 16. So hey, maybe getting picked last by the Big 12 media is a nice feather to put in the cap. Kansas loses to UNLV, game they had no business losing if you watched it. I thought Kansas was the better team, and kind of like us, they have found ways to lose games where it feels like they were probably better. But I think the notable result was Kansas State getting mm-hmm. a 3-0, impressive win against Arizona, where they really, you know, I think Arizona had a great drive to start the game, and then maybe one or two other drives where they kind of stalled out, and, you know, I think they threw a pick in the end zone on one. And then got a turnover and downs on Kansas State territory on one. But other than that, Kansas State absolutely dominated that game. What are you, any thoughts on games from last weekend?
Yeah, I do think the headlines K-State. I mean, they big boyed Arizona. I mean, it
was first time a quote unquote front runner really looked like a front runner. You know, I think one of the things from the first couple weeks is that Utah, Kansas State, Oklahoma, none of them have really looked great. Kansas State looked good. On Friday night.
Took it to them. And it could have been worse. It was 31-7. It could have been worse. Kansas State, you know.
Arizona's going to go flush that drive down the toilet at the end of the first half. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they thoroughly beat them down. Other than the scripted first drive with Arizona, they went scoreless for like 54 minutes or something. So
yep.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah, you mentioned the Kansas thing. I agree on that. Only other thing, the UCF-TCU, actually our first and only Big 12 conference game of the season. We passed out, but UCF comes back from the dead. They were down, I think, 3 scores. I think it was 21 points at one point, and they win 35-34 over TCU. So they did a similar thing last year versus, was it Cincinnati, right? Or they pulled one out of their...
Baylor did that to them.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. Baylor did that to them. And yeah, that was one of the games we had the quad view on YouTube TV. So we had four games going while we were sitting there sulking. And we were just like, oh, TCU, like, is TCU good? And then it turns out that who knows? But UCF, I think, is good. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, I think we're starting to, I mean, we are obviously inching into conference play this coming week. That Kansas State game, though they fully established themselves as the dominant. It was not a conference game. It was that weird pre-scheduled game. So for pre-cap this week, there's no weekday games. So no Thursday or Fridays. Houston, Cincinnati at noon. Yeah, we'll see who shakes out from the lower tier in the conference. Yep. Iowa State.
Houston's look way better the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Go ahead. No, Cincinnati favored by 3.5 in that as of now. Iowa State playing Arkansas State. They're favored by over 3 touchdowns. We have Texas Tech, Arizona State at 3:30. Texas Tech favored by 3. That could be an interesting game. Interesting to see where Arizona shakes out as they roll into Lubbock.
I honestly think I like Arizona State in that one. Texas Tech's a disaster against the run. Arizona State's just going to, 70% run the ball. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah. Probably your game of the week in conference is at 4:00 Eastern. It's Utah, who is ranked number 12 versus number 14, Oklahoma State.
It's a good one.
That's going to be a good one. In Stillwater, Utah is actually favored by 2. But that I will definitely be keeping eyes on that one. I think that's probably your game of the week. Yep. Any indication on that one? You got to lean.
So second matchup ever between these two teams. So that's kind of a cool thing. But I think I lean Utah. I mean, you just look at how one dimensional Oklahoma State's been, stuff that's given them issues. You know, people, like you said, people put 12, 17, 25 guys in the box against them and just dare Alan Bowman to beat them. And he hasn't yet. Utah's defense is really good. I think it's going to be another tough day for Ollie Gordon. And I think Utah's, it's going to be low scoring. I don't know what the over under is. Don't care to look it up unless you have it handy, but yeah, 51. I would lean probably under, I would lean under and I would lean Utah here.
Yep. Yeah. So 51, well, that'd be like a 27-24 game, something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Otherwise you got TCU SMU. That's a out of conference game, but they play that one. They've played it a lot of years in a row.
Always fun. Yeah.
Yeah. 98 degrees at kickoff there.
Yikes.
In Dallas. No, thank you. Baylor at Colorado. Welcome to the conference, Colorado.
Prime time game, baby.
Super. Why not? Colorado's favored here by 2. They got to bounce back against Colorado State. Though, they're making headlines. I think they were quite feeling themselves about the Colorado State vengeance, even though they won last year. It was just closer than expected. So I don't know. That was some weird beef, I thought. But yeah, so that's 8. And then at 10:30, K-State starts their Big 12 campaign versus BYU in Provo. Only 7-point favorites. 10:30 kick, kind of weird for K-State. That might be the big element for them. Provo. It's at a little bit of elevation, right? Nothing too crazy though.
Yeah, it's high and it's late at night, and I don't know. Has BYU been better than people thought this year? I'm not really sure. I don't know. I have a hard time seeing Kansas State not winning, but who knows? It's always weird shit in Provo.
BYU beat Southern Illinois, SMU, and Wyoming. SMU by field goal. That was that insane. Yeah, that they. I don't think they had business winning that 18-15, but they did it anyway. So yeah, that's the lineup in the Big 12. Your other game is Kansas at West Virginia. 2-1-2 teams. Two teams who got to get off the hide. Like you don't want to be the team who loses this game. Because things are probably going to be crashing down.
The sky will be falling
if you lose this game, and somebody has to lose this game. This is not soccer. West Virginia 2.5-point favorites. 57.5 is your over under. Should be decent weather in Milan Puskar this weekend. So Kansas. So far this year, they're 1-2. I think they were hoping for a little bit better. They've lost 2 1 possession games. They lost to Illinois last week and UNLV this week. Other game was a tune-up versus Lindenwood that they handled 48-3. So I think we've sort of hinted it several times, but Kotelniki, big deal. Penn State guy now, no longer at Kansas. Is this the same offense? Is this the same, you know, Kansas we've seen the last? There's like Kansas, which is like 2009 to 2021 Kansas. And then there's like, you know, the last 3 years Kansas. And is this team like the last 3 years Kansas, or are they slipping a little bit? I don't know. Have you watched much Kansas this year?
No, but I've paid enough attention just because I knew that they were obviously our first conference game. And yeah, I mean, you know, I think they're probably pretty pissed off that they're not at least 2-1. Really, I mean, you know, they should probably be 3-0. You know, I've dipped toe into the message boards a little bit, and they have the same laundry list of, you know, from both games, like, man, if one of these things would have swung differently, we're 3-0. You know, kind of how we feel against Pitt. I will say they are sick of Grimes, the offense coordinator, Jeff Grimes, who took over for Kotelniki. They're already tired of that. It's like, man, how quickly we get used to having nice things. It's like, you know, yeah. Sorry, you don't just get the best offensive coordinator in the country for eternity. You know, that's a shame. Interestingly, some calls to bench Jalen Daniels, because I gather that, you know, so you lose the Illinois game by 6. Jalen threw a pick 6 in that game. You lose the UNLV game by 3, right? And he threw a pick in the end zone and missed a dude wide open for a touchdown. Just has not been the same Jalen Daniels without Kotelniki. You know, I think overall the vibe is they're still more united. You know, I think Leipold has earned more goodwill with that fan base, just relative to what they were over the last decade than Neil Brown has. So they're still pretty united behind him as the coach. And, you know, I'd say they're buying the, well, we're undefeated in the Big 12 and everything's still in front of us stocks more than West Virginia fans are. But there's some bad vibes creeping in at 1-2. You know, I think this is a team, and I think we even talked about it in our deep dive. Like, this was not a hard schedule. It was a very manageable schedule. Like, they had a nice path to Dallas. And I mean, I guess technically they still do, but it has not gone the way they wanted so far. So,
yeah, the Jalen Daniels numbers are interesting because you didn't know any better and you didn't have a historical data. You look in this and you say, okay, well, I'm going to throw the Lindenwood game out because it's Lindenwood. Illinois and UNLV games, 0 big time throws, 7 turnover worthy plays. That's crazy. Two touchdowns and 5 picks. And he threw a pick against Lindenwood as well. So grades are low, 47 and 46 the last 2 weeks. He's got a 54% completion on the year. It hasn't clicked yet. I mean, it is I hope we're not the get it right team.
if there ever was one. You know, hey, when do you want to get your passing game going? Schedule the old Golden Blue, tell you that.
Yeah.
But, God, yeah. Yeah, he's been shaky, man. You know, it feels like the issues start with the offensive coordinator, right? Big downgrade there. We called that out. But, yeah, he's you know, really regressed as a passer. He's not running it as much as he has or has previously, nor nearly as effectively. But yeah, I mean, you said it, 6 interceptions, 54% completions, right? So down there in that Garrett Green range, and he's not throwing it deep as much as Garrett threw it last year. So, you know, not great there, but yeah, 2.8 big time throws, 2.8% big time throws. Like you said, all of that's against Lindenwood, and then 8.5% turnover worthy plays. I mean, there's no dressing that up. He's been shitty. And I think that was a lot of the vibes on the message boards, is like, how long of a leash does this guy have? Like, cause clearly it's different this year. So like, what do we do? I don't know. Yeah, but it's been bad. What are you seeing about this offense as a whole though?
I mean, I think otherwise, your running game, you got Devin Neal, and that's a nice guy to have. He seems to be in similar form this year, 7.4 carry. I mean, this will be a test for us in the running game. See what we got after, I mean, other than the quarterback having a really strong performance, I think, against Pitt. So Devin Neal's one to watch. And then, you know, in your passing game, they've gone to Luke Grimm a lot, almost twice as much as any other guy already, 26 targets. And he's done all right. He's already has 17 catches, only 154 yards, two touchdowns, 78 grade. Otherwise, you sort of start looking, you know, they have two other guys with significant targets, and that's it. They have Quentin Skinner and Lawrence Arnold, mm-hmm. both with 15, and then they don't have another guy over five. So, I mean, they've really only targeted three dudes, it feels like, in the past game,
yeah.
At least at volume. So, I just, you know, is this going to be like a more run-heavy team? Do you feel like they're going to go with what has been working, or are they going to keep trying to throw the ball? You know, so far, Daniels has thrown the ball, dropped back 79 times, thrown it 70. But you wonder if they're going to try to get him more involved in sort of designed runs, because it just hasn't really connected yet with the pass game.
Yeah, I really don't think that they are, man. I think that the preservation, like, I think the guy behind him is a true freshman, right? So, like, you're trying to avoid playing that guy. Even though I think he was a four-star. I think he's one of the higher-rated quarterback recruits Kansas has ever had. But, yeah, I think self-preservation, they're probably going to try and avoid, you know, running Daniels too much if they can help it. Obviously, scramble game, different deal, right? Like, if we get him and he's got space, we know that he has the ability to take it. But I think overall, yeah, they want to run the ball. They've still been 60% run this year. But it's been sloppy, man. It's been sloppy. Like, way more turnover worthy plays. They're averaging like a full yard less per play this year than they did last year. Like, if you look at the Carter, the stats award stuff, the success rate's bad, EPA's bad, explosives have dropped off. And then I think the big thing has been the turnovers. They have 8 turnovers through 3 games. And a lot of that has started with Jalen Daniels. I mean, he has 4 fumbles. Only 2 of them have gotten away. And then we mentioned the 6 picks. You know, I think a couple things of note here. You mentioned Grimm. I think Lawrence Arnold's been pretty good, too. Big drop-off in the passing game, which we called out in the deep dive from Mason Fairchild to the tight ends that they're running out there now. I know one of them is Jared Casey, and then the other one is Leighton Cure. Is that the right name? That feels like the right name. And just neither of those guys have been anywhere near the threat that Fairchild was in the passing game. So I think that's a big difference you've seen. Kotelniki liked to spread the ball around. Like, if you look last year, a ton of guys had a lot of touches, a lot of targets. This year, it's kind of been concentrated to Neal and Hyshaw in the running game. And then, like, you called out the 3 guys in the passing game. But I think one thing that's interesting, the offensive line is actually grading out really well. Yeah. I think they're 4th in the Big 12 in pass block grade and 1st in the Big 12 in run block grade. So, you know, honestly, I don't know. I mean, I think for us, we have to hope this isn't the get right game for Jalen Daniels, you know, a little bit. I don't know. Like, when you're looking at, like, what concerns you here, what matchups to watch in terms of, like, where do we need to win if we're going to stop this offense? Like, what are you highlighting?
Well, you can't let Daniels run on you like we were, you know, like in the scramble, you know, non-designed kind of run. That's something that I'm already worried about this team. And like I said, I think that's, like, coupled with our secondary. Like, are we looking at the ball? Are we facing the guy with the ball? But yeah, I'm interested to see how we're going to match up in the run game, because, like I said, I feel like we did a really good job actually against Pitt. Very encouraging the way we played against them. So, you know, who's going to win that matchup? And, you know, if we end up in this game where we're going to force Jalen Daniels to beat us through the air, I mean, they might be looking at our numbers and saying, well, hey, we're going to be able to pass against this team. We're looking at their numbers and saying, well, they haven't really been able to pass against anybody successfully yet. So, something's got to give, and we're just kind of early in the season to tell. But yeah, it can't get much worse in the secondary from, you know, at least those final 2 drives. You gotta hope that we're going to button it up this week and keep wraps on these guys.
Yeah, I think it has, like, they still want to run it to set up the pass. That hasn't changed from the Kotelniki side. They haven't done it as effectively or in as cool of ways, to put it quite eloquently. But yeah, I think we have to stop Neal and Hyshaw, same way we did with Dez Reed. Probably more of a challenge this week, just because I think Kansas' offensive line is better than Pitt's. Pitt's offensive line kind of stunk. You know, we were eating them up Can't believe we lost a fucking game. But yeah, got to stop the run. And then, yeah, like, you know, I hope, I mean, one of the adjustments that you hope to see this week is, if nothing else in coverage, like if we're rushing the passer on 3rd and 13, like just keep one guy sitting there behind the line in case Daniel, like, and just, you know, make him like a, maybe not even a true spy, but like, hey, you sit here until he rolls out one way and then go get him, you know, kind of a thing. Like, don't even sit back and wait for him. But like, we got to do something there because scrambling has killed us. We know he can scramble. Cannot let that happen. It's fucking killed us against Penn State, killed us against Pitt. We cannot let it beat us 3 straight games against like actual good teams. So, yeah. What about other side of the ball? What are you seeing?
Hey, they've been pretty good so far. The defenses look solid. Several dudes in the secondary grading out really well. Have some really good linebackers as well. And I'm talking like high 70s to mid 80s grades. Yeah, I mean, you kind of seeing some guys all over the place popping up here. Your pressures guy, Jareem Robinson. I think also keep out an eye out for Tommy Dunn on the D-line. He has a pretty high PFF grade. Defense overall, PFF has them as the number one defense in the Big 12 so far. Once again, just early data coming in, but this is what we're seeing. You know, they have West Virginia as the number one run defense. Interesting to see. So, hang the banner, as they say.
Out of conference champions, baby.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think this team has looked pretty strong on defense altogether. And I think especially looking at sort of the second and third level, like a lot of guys popping up. We kind of highlighted their corners, I think, in the deep dive. Dotson and Kobe Bryant. Those guys are playing the bulk of snaps. O.J. Burrows, also for safety. He's actually their top snap guy. Grading out really good. So maybe not our get-right passing the ball game. I don't know. I feel like running is our sort of we want to establish the run, it seems. And I think this is probably another case. I don't know if we want to be too pass-first with this team, which means you can't get down too much. You gotta be in these kind of games.
Yeah, I mean, defense definitely hasn't been the issue. They're allowing 16 points and 240 yards per game, only 4.1 yards per play, which is really fucking good. If you look at dudes who are averaging 10 plus snaps per game, so, you know, 30 snaps total or greater, they have 19 of them, and 14 of those dudes are grading above 65 on PFF, which we have highlighted is like above average. So like the defense has been playing well. Defensive line seems to have a pretty good rotation. They're getting 9 guys in. 6 of them have graded out really well. The linebackers, like you said, playing really well. And the secondary playing really well. I don't know. I mean, you know, you're kind of looking at this, like a couple things that I would highlight. Kansas plays a lot of man. All these dudes are 30 to 35% man coverage. And so that really, you know, that makes me think Garrett has to be involved in the running game, because one of the things with man, you're following guys down the field, you're losing track of the quarterback, right? We should fucking know that better than anybody. So I think you have to get Garrett on the move here. RPOs on the edge, where like dudes in man coverage kind of have to make a decision. Like, am I going to stay with my guy or am I going to go get Garrett and stop him from running? Just generally, I'd like to see us simplify his reads. You know, I think I said this before the last week, but it just really feels like we have kind of gotten obsessed with, like, you know, Garrett was good at these things, but he needed to get better at these things. And we've become obsessed with the things he needed to get better at, as opposed to like leaning into the shit that he was good at last year. And last year it was simple reads. It was kind of similar to what, like, to how Neil described Pitt, right? It's like one side reads. You look at your first guy, you look at your check down, and if that's not there, you look to get the fuck out of the pocket. Get what you can. And we did that last year. It was super effective. I don't know why we're asking him to stand in the pocket, so I think I'd like to see us simplify that stuff there. You know, if you're looking at weaknesses, like you mentioned, most of these guys have played pretty well. Most of the dudes who are playing a lot of snaps. The one kind of red flag, Marvin Grant, the safety, he's played 122 snaps. He's kind of in their Kenny Logan role, which is, you know, sort of box safety, kind of hybrid, all kind of how we play in Aubrey Burks, has been really, really bad in man coverage. So, you know, I don't know how, if you do it with motion or if you just kind of manufacture some stuff, but try and get him isolated on people. It seems like he's been able to be taken advantage of. I think he's the only dude with below like a 65 man coverage grade of dudes who have played significant snaps, but it's like a 48. So he's been really bad in man coverage. He's really good at pretty much everything else, but you know, you look at his run defense, tackling grades, pass rush grades, all those are high 70s, low 80s, which is good, but the coverage grades are kind of a red flag. So I think you got to look to maybe isolate him against maybe Cole Taylor, maybe Jaheim White, maybe CJ Dotts, Donaldson coming out of the backfield. And, but you know, other than that, I don't know. I think I think the biggest thing that I want to see this week, get Garrett more involved in the running game. He has not been as involved in the running game as he needs to be. We're not stressing teams three ways the way we did last year. And simplify the passing game for him, because, you know, like, we're asking him to be somebody he's not. We got to stop doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think this is going to be a pretty, you know, gutsy kind of game we need to come out and play. We need to come out and have the fire and not be defeated by last week. We need to be ready to correct and know that it's a tough schedule ahead and, you know, ready to embrace. So I'm excited. Unfortunately, I will always be excited about the next Mountaineer game. So, with that being said, I will be excited. And, yeah, we're going to beat them by at least two touchdowns. You got any listener questions we need to hit?
I do have some questions. While I'm scrolling to that, though, one thing to watch Saturday, I'm not expecting attendance to be high. It's going to be a diehard sicko crowd, which some of my favorite crowds.
Love them.
But those crowds can also kind of turn nasty. And oh, yeah. So this is one of these things where, like, we cannot let this game get away from us early, or the crowd is going to turn very, very quickly. Like, I'm talking bad.
You go lay an egg the first three drives, and the boo birds might come out.
If they go down the first two drives and, like, throw it like 16 times and just score two touchdowns easily, it's gonna be bad. There's gonna be boo birds for sure, and just give us, I say this every fuck, give us something to fucking cheer about. Give us something to cheer about. Like, my God in heaven. Like, why is this so hard? Here, let me scroll to my, when did I ask this question today?
Maybe yesterday?
No, it was today. Okay. So, first question from Cool Hand. Why can't we have nice things? I don't fucking know, man.
Next question.
We didn't do anything to anybody. Next question. From Zentradi Elite, with the win over Pitt, has Neil turned a corner?
Extend them.
Rocky Mountaineer has a question about the Arizona State Texas Tech game, which I don't know. If Neil is fired, who do we realistically go after as a new head coach? Honestly, I'm so unplugged. Like, my expectations were such this year that I have not even been keeping tabs. My pipe dream has always been Kotelnicki, but I don't know if you can, I don't know if that's like a thing that could happen. I don't know. The UNLV coach is fun, but I'm not sure that's a fit. I'm sure he's like a West Coast or Midwest guy. I don't know. Do you have anybody on your radar?
Nick Saban. He's not a TV personality. He's a coach. Get him off game day. Get him in the Mountain State.
Hey, why not? Why not? Did you know he's from Fairmont?
I've heard.
Yeah, you heard that. Slaw asks, what are your favorite moments from the Neil Brown era? I thought it was pretty cool when he took beer and liquor to the dudes on the Pat McAfee show. I don't know. What about you?
When they dumped mayo on him, that was fun. Man, why is this list so short? When we beat VT.
Yeah, I think so. I have.
We beat a bad Virginia Tech team.
I have beating Oklahoma finally was good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Even that team sucked. Virginia Tech twice. Pitt at home was fun. Iowa State at home was fun. NC State at home was fun. But yeah, there haven't been many.
It's so Neil Brown that I even remember the VT game at home, that like we tried so hard to lose it, and we had to have a fourth down goal line stop to win that, like, how did they get the ball back on the goal? Like, yeah. I don't know.
All right. Semper Montani, why run CJ outside, out wide so much? He's a north-south back. Yeah, apparently the guys were calling this out on the broadcast even. I actually looked up the stats. So if you look at PFF, you can look at, like, run direction, like outside the tackles or inside the tackles or whatever. CJ inside the tackles, 24 carries for 109 yards. That's 4.5 an attempt. CJ outside the tackles, 21 carries for 137 yards. 6.5 an attempt. So he's actually been more productive outside the tackles and notably much better on the left behind Milam and Thomas Rimmich than on the right behind Malone and Hubbard. So I don't know, but I do agree. I don't understand. It seems like we run Jaheim up the middle and CJ out wide, like, kind of a lot. So pretty weird. Most important question from Slaw. Pinto, you still climbing? I would think that it's pretty clear that I'm not at this point. Trust HQ has been shuttered until further notice. Your trust officer has resigned.
Are you still on belay, or, like, are you, you know, where?
No,
are you?
Actually, it's funny. So that's,
are you rappelling down?
So I send a survey to my coworkers who are also West Virginia fans, and the 0 out of 4, it's a 0 to 4 scale. And the 0 is cut my rope, I'm ready to die. And I was a 0. Cut my rope, I'm ready to die. What about you? You trusting?
I'm, as of today, I'm not trusting, but I say you get to the end of October, because if you can pull it out of you, if you can pull four wins out through October, I will listen again. But it's, like I said, it doesn't get easier. You've lost all the goodwill, and you have a hard road to get it back. It's not impossible. Like I said, you pull four of the next five, okay. It's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough.
It's going to be tough. Since the year asked for, can we get a little hot board season for shits and gigs? We kind of talked about that. I'm so unplugged from that, just because I didn't see this going this way. So Knight 676 asks, is Neil officially on the hot seat? Like, yeah, I think so.
Definitely.
Ren Hazard asks, game plan for Kansas, both personally and or team. Personally, I am not attending this game. It's the first home game I've missed in quite a while. Actually, that's a lie. I didn't go to the Albany game. I had a work thing that I couldn't miss. But first home game that I could attend in quite a while, I'm going to my kid's soccer game instead. Because
that's a good reason.
Yeah, I'd rather be a good dad than really, you know, watch this team lose again.
What's the over-under on the soccer game? Any sharp bets are coming?
It's 4-year-olds. It's a disaster. It's a disaster. We're working with her. The first game last weekend that I actually did miss apparently did not go great. for her personally, her team did fine. But we have some work to do there. As a team, Ren, we kind of already talked through that. We got to stop Neil and Highshaw, and then not let Jalen Daniels scramble us to death. And then offensively, I don't know. I think we just need to get Garrett more involved in the running game. It just feels like he's lost some of the swag from last year for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's that Neil can talk into his ear until there's 15 seconds left on the play clock and is just like, "Hey, dude, don't fuck up."
Kills and Garrett's like,
"Oh shit, okay, I'll try not to." But. Anyways, Jake, WV Knight asks, can you eat 2 Mountaineer biscuits in one sitting? Brad and Hoppy claim they can. Yeah, no question. Not even a fucking problem.
I don't think I could.
I could eat 2, give me a third. Not a big deal.
Jesus.
Spidey616, what are realistic expectations for the season now that we've seen 3 games? Is it as doom and gloom as it appears? Jesus, dude. It's...
You're probably not going to be, well, I think you are favored this weekend. You're not going to be favored
in October
by any, probably not by much at all or any in October. That's just the reality. Your final 4 games, you can probably, like, 3 of them are pretty winnable, but yeah, it's going to, it's rough.
Yeah, it's not good. Not too good. Not too good, Spidey. Not too good. Saxo Steve, West Virginia's lost the last 5 away games I've gone to. Dude, stop going to fucking games.
Dude, what I was thinking about this too. I've never been to an away game that we've won. I'm 0-4. Stinks.
You both. I invited the wrong guy to the game, for sure.
And it's we had fault. The lead or tied in the fourth quarter of all of them. That's the worst thing.
Jesus Christ. So stupid. Yeah, it's your fault specifically. not you, Joel. Saxo Steve, it's your fault specifically. Let's see. What else do we have here? Because there's some where they don't respond to me, and I want to make sure I'm not missing just because it's not highlighted red. Couldn't stop Holstein from running the ball. How are we going to fare against Daniels? Hopefully better. Hopefully better, man. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, at some point you have to learn a lesson, right? I mean, if we don't have somebody who's, like, specifically assigned to, like, Daniels is breaking contain, go get him. I don't know what we're doing. You know, I heard some of the post-game comments where they were like, yeah, we didn't know Holstein was a scrambler. And it's like, really? Because, like, I spend, like, 3 hours a week on this, and I knew that. So, did you not listen in the team meeting? Did the coaches not tell you? Really weird.
They must have not got our last episode. We need to get with.
We might need to start adding Neil Brown and Jordan Leslie on these.
Yeah. Hey guys, we got you covered this week. Look at some colorful spreadsheets. We got you.
Let's see here. When will Jordan Leslie coach his last game for WVU? And is the answer not? And why is the answer not last Saturday from Yinzer 304?
Bye week until next week.
I'm with you, buddy. That's my buddy. You met him at the tailgate last weekend. Clarence Auvoir, what does this team realistically have to do to save this season and Neil's job? Would 6-6 be enough or something more? If I'm the AD, 6-6 is not enough.
Not what we should be, no. Yeah, I think
that's at least 7, and it has to look good for the other 3 losses. Like, it can't just be like we got smoked 3 times and then happened to beat, you know, 6 teams, like, unconvincingly.
I'm leaving an exercise to the viewer. Go look at our schedule and figure out how we're winning 6 of the next 9. Like, I'm just saying, it's not looking great.
Wins to keep job. Yeah, I just said, yes, at least 7. Clarence asked another one. If you're Neil Brown, what changes would you make? I think I already kind of said, like, you gotta relieve. I don't know if you fire Shadon in the middle of the season, but at least, like, have somebody else, like, take a little bit more control over the secondary. And because there's got to be some changes there. I don't know. Thoughts, anything other than that?
Yeah, I echo that.
Let's see. Must be pretty bad. Why is it so? Oh, yeah, here we go. From New Name, who dis? Why is it so hard for us to play zone? Can't we just watch a YouTube video or something? It's a good question. I don't know. I don't know. It feels like a lot of the time that half the team isn't really sure what zone we're supposed to be playing. So I already referenced the Rodney Gallagher thing. If you go back and watch Desmond Reed's first touchdown, so Pitt's first touchdown of the game, Desmond Reed just leaks out of the backfield and runs like a little curl to the front of the end zone. And when you watch the replay of the play from behind, Ben Cutter and Josiah Trotter both play the hook zone on the other side of the field. And I don't know. So this is one of those where it's like kids just got to execute better. Like, why is Ben Cutter playing the same zone? Like, did he maybe just think he was playing on the other side of the field and his responsibility was the right side? I have no idea, but that's like the kind of, like, that's high school shit. I mean, that's not even stuff that happened in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's like that we're trying to get too much versatility and we're trying too many people in different positions and like, hey, learn this position. And then we have positional flexibility and we have versatility and, oh, we can play multiple guys in multiple positions. And it's like, yeah, but then maybe they don't ever really get good at like their one position. I don't know, kind of like an overcoaching thing almost, where it's like, are these dudes just out here like playing scared to make a mistake? They're playing like robots almost.
Which comes back to coaching. Why is it so complicated that we consistently don't understand what we're trying to
do? We don't know that that our guys don't know where they're supposed to be going. Yeah, yep, 100% coaching thing. I apologize if I'm missing any. I don't see anything else highlighted red. My one question is there a path back for Neil? I mean, and you've kind of highlighted it, that this is a big five-game stretch. You have Kansas, Oklahoma State. I'm not sure on the order, but I'm just rattling them off. Kansas, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Kansas State, Arizona. Might be in that order. I mean, you're 1-2. You got to win 4 of them.
3 minimum, and then like run the table after it. I mean, like, yeah.
Yes. And that's including beating UCF, who has looked good this year, who is definitely going to cause us problems. Definitely going to cause our defense problems. And so, like, I don't think you can pencil that one in. I mean, Cincinnati, Baylor, Texas Tech have all looked pretty shaky.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you can pencil it in.
You can hit those 3, but I don't think that does anything.
That doesn't do anything. That doesn't do anything. You have to win at least 3 of these 5 to get to 7, I feel like. So,
you're probably playing 1, if not 2 teams that will end up in the conference championship. Most likely. We're not playing Utah, but like if you look at those 5 teams, I bet a lot of money at least one of them ends up in the conference championship.
But like I'm sat here, the way we've looked, man, I'd say it's just as likely that we're 2-6 or 3-5 as it is that we're 5-3. It's probably more likely.
Yeah.
Which is not great.
Yes.
Going back to the is everything as doom and gloom as it seems? Like, yeah, it kind of feels that way.
Win the games.
Win the fucking games, Neil.
Let's go win the game.
Dude, we were saying that the offense got the ball back with 3.5 minutes to go, and our entire section was, you want to win the game? Let's go win the fucking game. And then we went 3-and-out and kicked it back to Pitt, and then they won the game. So
how silent was our section on that final drive of the game? I feel like you would have heard a pin drop. There was nothing. I mean, it was just like you knew what was going to happen. It's like you'd already seen it before, and you just like we were all just frozen and
sitting there watching a fucking car crash, man.
It's like when you watch Kansas basketball go on a 12-0 run and you know they steal the ball and they're in transition and then kick it for 3 and you're like, yeah, I know what happened. Yeah, it goes in. I've seen it. Yeah. It just is like, yeah, you just sit and watch it and yeah, like car crash.
All right. Oh, there is actually, I missed one. If we were going to put one local food in the stadium, let's end on a positive here. You're going to put one like Morgantown food staple in the stadium. And somebody would reasonably buy it in the stadium. Like, what would you do?
I don't know how good of a stadium food, but man, if I could get some fishbowl cowboy ranch wings on a cold November, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's, I was thinking chicken wings. Somebody said Tudors. I thought that was a really good answer. Like if you could just get like a Ron, a Mountaineer, definitely not the Thundering Herd. You're not going to sell that in the stadium. But, you know, if you had like 3 or 4 Tudor's biscuits that I could buy, I'd probably buy a Tudor's biscuits at some point. But yeah, chicken wings from, I mean, pick your spot. Fishbowl, Varsity Club, Keglers, Crockett's, you know, whatever. That would be a big win. Just give me 8 of those, like at halftime while I'm drinking a couple beers at halftime. Yeah.
Would love that.
Yep.
I would look forward to that.
I would every game, every game I'd buy 8 every game. And then that would cut down on how many I had to buy after the game. It would be a win-win. All right.
I think that's all I got. I will be watching Saturday. We're going to win by 2 touchdowns and things are going to be fine. Don't worry.
If we win by 2 touchdowns, I would feel a lot better. Not a lot better. I would feel better though.
Winning cures all. Just win, baby. That's what they say.
Just win. All right, man.
All right. So, thanks as always for listening. You can find us on Twitter, or West by Pod with underscores. And you make sure you're checking out smokingmusket.com. Lots of good articles up right now. If you want to feel all the feels about this football team, get in the Smoking Musket Discord. And special shout out for letting me hit the shovel this weekend. It was an honor and a privilege.
All right. One, take care, game.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.